Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day to you all. I'm Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop, here with you today again. It is a pleasure that you would choose to take a half an hour of your life and give me the opportunity to speak something into your life that my prayer, my hope, my desire is that it would change your life in some small or great way. I believe that the greatest commandment, the highest value of all life, is love. Love is the beginning of life. Love is the end of life. And in between the beginning and the end, there ought to be enough love that keeps us fueled and fired up and ready to meet every day, every challenge with something that looks like love. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. It's how I live. It's what I've chosen to pour my life into, is this message of love. In today's broadcast, I made a determination early this morning that I was going to take a chance with this broadcast. So I hope you can buckle up and hang on tight. Keep your hands and feet in the ride at all time. I'm going to take a chance with today's broadcast and not so much teach a list. I like to give you a list of 3 to 5 or 7 things. I like to be able to give you something that you can write notes on. Today won't be so much a note-taking broadcast as it is. I want to share from my own story, from my own heart, my own life, and I hope that you can pluck some truths out of this story and be able to carry it forward into your own experience. In fact, the confirmation of my choice to do this morning came as I walked out of my door, and we have a guest in our home, and my wife. As I walked out the door, I said, well, I love you all. And as I walked out the door and went to my car, I realized that our guest might not be used to hearing me say, I love you. I made the statement as a blank check. It's my blank check that I give as often as I know how, especially for my wife and, of course, my little four-legged house friend, my dog. I love that little dog. But here we have a guest that's been with us a few days, doesn't know me really well. And I said, I love you all. And then as I got in my car to leave, I realized that may be a foreign phrase for that set of ears. And so it set me on a course to confirm what I had told you. I felt early this morning that I wanted to share my story. So here it is. Here's the story of Randy Dean as it pertains to how it brings me to this place in my life where I am alive to love. I grew up in a home where love was not a hard value to find, but it was confusing. There was a lot of dysfunction. And for those of you that know anything about drugs and alcohol and addiction and codependency, AA and Al-Anon, that story was my story. Growing up, there was a solid addiction going on. I'll put it that way. There was an addiction in the little apartment I grew up in with my mom and my dad, my brother, and myself. And that addiction led to violence. That addiction led to a variety of dysfunctions, not the least of which was the struggle to wrap my own personal arms around what is love and making my experience match what I kept hearing around me, that families love each other. And then I saw the experience of the dysfunction in our home. So I had to square up with what was happening in my home and what was happening in terms of my own personal experience with love. I did not understand why we could say we loved each other and yet behave in such horrible, horrible ways. So if I could fast forward that past all of my early childhood to my 18th year on the planet, I had just graduated high school, and I was on my way to college to get my education, and my father fell ill. My father fell ill so badly that it just about took his life. So I was I was in a spot where I was still struggling with my own experience with love. My dad told my mother, he was in the hospital, he had come out of a coma, and he said to my mother, "Send Randy up to the hospital alone. I want to see him." Well, those were strange words for my mom to hear. It was strange words for her when she came and told me. She said, "Your father wants to see you up at the hospital alone. He doesn't want anybody else there." So I journeyed up to the hospital later that day, went into the hospital room a little trepidatious. I didn't know what this would mean. And there my dad laid, very frail. He was otherwise a very robust and big guy, big fighting Irishman. But he was there very, very frail in that hospital room. And he called me to the bedside, and I sat down next to him. And he started a little bit timidly to share some thoughts. And then he got real serious real fast. He said, "I want to make sure you know, because I don't think I've ever said it to you, I want to make sure that you know I love you." Well, in that very moment, ladies and gentlemen, I felt like my world stopped. Suddenly, my world came to a halt. It hit me. He couldn't have hit me any harder had he thrown a brick right in my face. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to respond to that. I don't think I said thank you. I didn't say, "Well, I love you too." I don't think I said anything. Honestly, I froze. And as he said it, and as I contemplated it, and then as I left the room, I measured what he said against my experience, and I realized he was right. I had never heard my dad say, "I love you," until I was 18. So that began, for me, a lifelong journey of examining what happens. What happens in a life? And I know what happened in my life when that kind of experience is your own. Well, I'm going to fast forward some more here into my college years. And I, you know, like any young college guy, I dated several young ladies. And my problem, my wife will tell you today, my wife of 46 years will tell you today, she knew this about me because she went to college with me. My problem was, I would say too easily to young ladies that I dated, I would say too easily, "Hey, I love you." And I did not calculate carefully what I was saying and how I said it and to whom I said it and what those words would mean. So I was causing heartache, as you can imagine. Well, when I met Ginger, my bride, I told her early on in our dating experience, because I had caused some heartache amongst the friends that I had dated over the months prior to my wife. And I told my wife when we started to date, I said, "Listen, I need you to understand that I've made a commitment to myself that I'm not going to say I love you to another young lady until I'm sure that's the person I want to spend the rest of my life with." Well, she made a marker in her mind. She remembered that really well. And she carried that forward going forward. And I carried it forward as my own commitment to be careful, to watch my words carefully. So as we got to know each other better, I remember on a Valentine's night banquet that we had gone to, and we had been seeing each other quite a while. And I was feeling all those romantic feelings and all that good stuff that follows a young man's heart as he's getting close to a young lady at that time. I think I was 20 and she was probably 18 or 19 at the time. Something approximated in that. Well, I said to her those words as we came home from that. I came back to the dorms that night. I said, "You know, I've learned a lot of things as we've been dating these months." I said, "And you know, I think there's one thing I've learned, and that is that I love you." Now, for her, that was a proposal. For me, it was, again, my ease with which I had learned to say I love you. So the long story short is, yes, that was a proposal, because many, many days later, I did officially propose and we did get married, and we've been together 46 years. And hey, Ginger, I know you're listening right now. And remember, I still love you, but I love you more than ever before today. Now listen, My story is this. Those three words, I love you, can hit like a hammer to the heart and sometimes to that stubborn head. I have found that my experience is, it doesn't have to be your experience, but I know my experience is saying I love you is an easy thing for me to say. I don't mean easy in the sense that I just throw it around like it's cheap. I just mean that I've trained myself. I've developed in myself the capacity to easily give somebody the sense that I do love you. I may love you as a friend. I may love you as a neighbor. I can even love you as an enemy. In fact, one of my experiences in life was to tell somebody who had become an enemy of mine many years ago, somebody who had done great harm to me and to my family, somebody who had been very, very vicious to us. I felt very compelled to manage that relationship to a close by saying to that person, listen, I know this, I love you, no matter what. Well, all of that is to say that because I have spent my lifetime, I'm 67, I've spent most of my 67 years developing a capacity to see to it that I can easily say, I love you, in the best possible way, easily in the best possible way. Now, what that means is that, as I said this morning, as I left my home and we have a guest in our home, when I said, I love you, I realized that that probably leaves that person holding on to something they're not quite sure what to do with. I've done that a few other times with people that I have met early on, or maybe as we've journeyed along in a friendship or a companionship of some level, even business, that I will say it. I will say it without even pausing. I'll just say, well, I love you, and I go on my way. What I've discovered is that it does leave people with a powerful and profound sense of, how do I manage what he just said? What do I do with those three words? And for me, it's a lifelong experiment in the human experience to say to somebody, I love you. You know, I remember a couple of songs from my past, and what is love? What's love got to do with it? What is love but a secondhand emotion? Well, that's a pensive song. It's a song that's crying out about the profound disappointment of love. What's love got to do with it? It's just a secondhand emotion. Well, that's a means of trying to dismiss what love has to do with it, because as far as I'm concerned, love's value has everything to do with how we live life. Does life have quality? Well, it does if love is in the middle of it. So as I started this, and if you came in late, bear with me. I'm experimenting here. I'm just telling you a little bit of my story as I've journeyed in life as it relates to the capacity to be loved and the capacity to love someone, the energy, the project, the work, because it is work to love. It ought to be work to love somebody. It ought to be a labor of love. I don't want to sound circular, but that's it. It is a labor of love, to love. Managing love well means that you're going to need to have some inventory that goes on regularly, that you understand that when you say, I love you, and people hear it who are hungry for it or they're not used to hearing it, well, now you've opened a door. Now you've started something, haven't you? I know that from my own life, and I routinely and willingly, I throw that door open. And I guess, again, it goes back to when I was 18 and my dad in the hospital room admitted to me that he realized that he had never said, I love you, in my 18 years. And it hit me so hard to realize, oh my gosh, those three words coming from my dad meant the world to me more than I could have imagined before he said it. Because when he said it, I had no clue that those words were missing. Once I knew it, I knew that that would forever change our relationship. That would forever change how I looked at him and how I viewed him. Oh yeah, we had plenty of trouble after that. Plenty of trouble as a older teen, young man has with his dad. We butted heads plenty, but I will tell you, it did change everything. So love does have this capacity to turn our world right side up, and it'll feel upside down. Love has that capacity. And here again, I'm not just talking about romantic love. I'm not just talking about family love. Now I'm talking about human love for other humans. Managing relationships around the capacity to love one another is life's greatest challenge. Life's greatest challenge isn't how you're going to make money. Life's greatest challenge isn't how you're going to retire and have it easy. Life's greatest challenge isn't about just managing a business or managing even your family. Life's greatest challenge is, what will you and I do with love? Now, having said all that, here's another component, and I want to throw this in. I've got about 10 minutes to go here. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. He said, in fact, if you just love those who love you back, what credit is that to you? Everybody does that. But he said, if you love your enemies, well, now you've really done something that looks like love. Listen to that carefully. Jesus gives this command, love your enemies. You know, he could have said anything. Love the grizzly bear. Love the alligator. He could have said, love cold winter days. He could have said, love the hot, hot, humid days that just make you want to melt into the ground. He could have said that, and it would have been hard, but it wouldn't have been as hard. It wouldn't have been as challenging. It would not have been as brutal as him saying, love your enemies. And by the way, he didn't qualify what kind of enemies. He didn't qualify whether they were people you just had a little problem with. He didn't qualify whether it was your life and death enemy. He just said, in general, love your enemies. What a heart and head and handful that is. It challenges everything about our experience on the earth. Love my enemies? Come on, Jesus, give me a break. It's hard enough just loving my family, just loving my friends, just loving people who love me back. Love my enemies? Well, here's what I believe that's about. It becomes a true measure of our capacity to be willing to take on the project, the value of love being alive to love. To love our enemies, it's not going to happen because you snap your fingers or because you pray a prayer. Loving your enemies isn't going to happen just because you say, well, okay, I'll give it a shot. No. Loving your enemies is going to require of us an evaluation on a routine basis, the evaluation of how we are viewing other people. When we see people who are at odds with us, when we see and know people who we are at some contrary, sideways nature with them, when we end up butting heads with somebody, when we have somebody in our life who's decided that we're their enemy, when we have decided about somebody else, they're my enemy. And now I'm left with this challenge. Love your enemies. Now listen, I know, it's easy just to say, no, thank you. That's easy. And you know, you can go through life. You'll get away with dodging that command. You can get away with it. But I promise you this, you will be less than the person of love than you could have ever been until you had taken on that challenge. You could get through life and just skip along and say, well, you know, I've loved my friends and my family, but I have not loved my enemies. And you could end life and life will be okay. I'm not saying it's going to be a disaster. I'm simply saying you will not have climbed the mountain of the beauty and the majesty and the magnificence of what love really is. Until we have found the choice in our life to love our enemies, well, then we've left something on the playing field, haven't we? Then we've left something on the basketball court. We haven't given it our all. We have left on the table a significant challenge, a significant opportunity, a significant project in our own life. Now listen to that carefully. Loving my enemies is more for me than it is for my enemy. Loving my enemy is more for me than it is than for my enemy. Oh, certainly my enemy will gain something. In fact, the truth be told, some of my enemies may be amused by it. Some of my enemies may deride me for it. Some of my enemies may even laugh me to scorn and leave me feeling embarrassed and abused. That's true. That is absolutely the possibility. But loving my enemy does something for me that nothing else can do. I can pray. I can go to church every day of the week. I can say all of my prayers. I can do a Hail Mary. I can genuflect. I can bow at an altar. I can go forward at a Billy Graham crusade. I can do a lot of religious things. I can sing Amazing Grace at the top of my lungs. I can even get in a choir and dance and shout and raise my hands. But that will not do for me what loving my enemies can do for me. It is the mountain that begs to be climbed by all of us who would call ourselves Christ followers. Love your enemies. Wow. So in this broadcast today, I told you I wasn't going to give you a neat and tidy three-point message. I wasn't going to give you notes to take. Hopefully you did get something that was a note to take. But I decided I wanted to tell you my life story, a bit about Randy that gives Randy the reason why I come to this moment, why I'm here today with a radio broadcast and with a blog and with a variety of other places. I'm writing a book. It's called Alive to Love. And why am I here today talking about being alive to love, that lesser values are all BS? Because I have come to believe that the greatest of all these things is love. Love never fails. So if I want to be fail-proof, then I better be about love. And my story is about how I've explored and discovered love and what love means to me. And even this morning, as I left my house and said, I love you, to my wife, to my little dog, and to a friend who is staying with us, just made me realize, I wonder what my friend is thinking about me as I walked out the door and said, I love you. I wonder what that does for their heart and mind, and if they feel like I just kind of threw that out there like tossing a coin into a beggar's cup, or if I gave them a real treasure. Really, it's up to me giving it as I did. It's up to me. Did I mean it? Well, I can tell you now at this point in my life, yes, I meant it. But I know I left them with something to contemplate. So all of that is to say, as you journey in this life, make sure you make at least something in your goals that you will have loved well. That your love will not be an energy that has been left behind on day-to-day basis. You know, we all have our to-do list, right? We all have our projects that we want to finish in any given day, any given week or month. We all have that, right? How about on your to-do list? How about on your project list that you make it your goal, you make it your heart, you make it your purpose to have loved well? Today, say with me, I will love well. Can you do that? I will love well. Well, I will have loved in a way that is more than average. I will have loved in a way that has taken me beyond myself. I will love in a manner that does something for me, whether it does something for others or not. So, as I close today, I want you to do with me again what I ask you to do routinely, and that is this. Take a deep breath. You know, I've been a little bit personal with you today, and maybe I've kind of worn you down a bit. I want you to take a deep breath. Inhale and exhale. All right, one more time. Inhale. Hold that and exhale. Now I want you to hear from me. What has become my my daily, not routine, but it's my daily priority. Hear me say three words that maybe you're dying to hear. Three words that will help make a difference in my life, and hopefully they'll make a difference in yours. I want you to hear me say these three words. I love you. If I don't know you, I love you. If I do know you, I love you. If we're enemies, I love you. If we're friends, I love you. I'm determined to dig a well deep enough inside of me that sees to it that love is as real as I know how to make it be for my life. Well, my time is up. Thanks for joining here today. I've taken a chance to tell you a little bit of my life story and why love is the highest value, why I believe I'm alive to love and all lesser values are potential BS. Thanks for being here today. I pray that you will arise and shine in the beauty of love. And by the way, do me a favor, would you? Go out into the world now and go do something beautiful. You know why? Because ugly has been done to death. Thanks for being here today. Hear the words, I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.